Clifton Chronicles, The Sins of the Father, by Geoffrey Archer. Read by Alex Jennings and Amelia Fox. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Book of Common Prayer. Harry Clifton, 1939 to 1941.
My name is Harry Clifton.
Sure, and I'm Babe Ruth,
said Detective Kalowski as he lit a cigarette.
No, said Harry. You don't understand. There's been a terrible mistake. I'm Harry Clifton, an Englishman from Bristol. I served on the same ship as Tom Bradshaw.
Save it for your lawyer, said the detective,
exhaling deeply and filling the small cell with a cloud of smoke.
I don't have a lawyer, protested Harry.
If I was in the trouble you're in, kid, I consider having Sefton Jelks on my side to be about my only hope.
Who's Sefton Jelks?
You may not have heard of the sharpest lawyer in New York, said the detective, as he blew out another plume of smoke. But he has an appointment to see you at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And Jelks don't leave his office unless his bill has been paid in advance.
But,
began Harry, as Kalowski banged the palm of his hand on the cell door.
So, when Jelks turns up tomorrow morning,
Kalowski continued, ignoring Harry's interruption,
you better come up with a more convincing story than we've arrested the wrong man. You told the immigration officer that you were Tom Bradshaw, and if it was good enough for him, it's going to be good enough for the judge.
The cell door swung open, but not before the detective had exhaled another plume of smoke that made Harry cough. Kalowski stepped out into the corridor without another word and slammed the door behind him. Harry collapsed onto a bunk that was attached to the wall and rested his head on a brick-hard pillow. He looked up at the ceiling and began to think about how he'd ended up in a police cell on the other side of the world on a murder charge. The door opened long before the morning light could creep through the bars of the window and into the cell. Despite the early hour, Harry was wide awake. A warder strolled in carrying a tray of food that the Salvation Army wouldn't have considered offering a penniless hobo. Once he placed the tray on the little wooden table, he left without a word. Harry took one look at the food before beginning to pace up and down. With each step, he grew more confident that once he explained to Mr. Jelks the reason he'd exchanged his name with Tom Bradshaw, the matter would quickly be sorted out. Surely the worst punishment they could exact would be to deport him, and as he'd always intended to return to England and join the Navy, it all fitted in with his original plan. At 8:55 a.m., Harry was sitting on the end of the bunk, impatient for Mr. Jelks to appear. The massive iron door didn't swing open until 9:12. Harry leapt up as a prison guard stood to one side and allowed a tall, elegant man with silver-grey hair to enter. Harry thought he must have been about the same age as Grandpa. Mr. Jelks wore a dark blue pinstripe, double-breasted suit, a white shirt and a striped tie. The weary look on his face suggested that little would surprise him.
"Good morning," he said, giving Harry a faint smile. "My name is Sefton Jelks. I am the senior partner of Jelks, Myers, and Abernathy, and my clients, Mr. and Mrs. Bradshaw, have asked me to represent you in your upcoming trial."
Harry offered Jelks the only chair in his cell, as if he was an old friend who had dropped into his study at Oxford for a cup of tea. He perched on the bunk and watched the lawyer as he opened his briefcase, extracted a yellow pad, and placed it on the table.